Renegade Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Renegade Roundtable. This is your host for the Roundtable, Kyle Hunt, the host of the Sunday night show right here on RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Tomorrow night, I will be having Dr. Frederick Tobin, formerly of the Adelaide Institute, jailed three times for being a thought criminal, and he is one of the early so-called revisionists, though he does not like that term. Should be a fascinating story. We'll hear from him tomorrow night. I still do have David Dees somewhere in the back burner. He just released a new book, so he's busy with that for the time being. And I have some other guests that could be coming up. I also have a bunch of material for some solo shows when I get around to them. The last solo show I did, which was the last show, was about animals, animal nature, and how they're trying to degrade us using our base instincts. It's not about bringing animals up and treating them like fellow creatures, sentient creatures in this world. No. It is about bringing the Aryan man down into the mud, making us into filthy goyim, even more so than we already have been. Still a lot of interesting things to add to that discussion, getting into chimeras, some other things. Cats the Musical. Different ideas related to Samhain. And, you know, of course, that's known as Halloween. The Celtic god, Herne the Hunter, Cernunnos. Some things about Zoo York. And also how that movie, Madagascar, could have been about Jews wanting to go to Madagascar after being cooked up in Brooklyn, in Crooklyn. That was Hitler's plan originally, was to send the Jews to Madagascar. That would have been much better. Would have been in much less of a mess right now if this holy land for the Jews was located in Madagascar. But that did not happen. Hitler did not win. The Reich was right, but it was defeated. So basically, we've got to find a way now. Being the underdogs, though our numbers are getting greater by the day, without the printing press at our disposal, to be able to finish the job here that was started in the liberation of Aryan mankind, and in fact the whole world, from under the Jewish yoke. It is becoming quite clear to anybody with a brain who is paying attention that Jews are indeed running this country, and indeed running many other countries, and indeed they are ruining us. They have a chosen mindset, a supremacist state of being, even though they are such vile creatures in many different instances, and yet they get a free pass. White people, who've done a great number of things for the entire world, often to the detriment of our own kind, we are able to be chastised. We are able to be genocided in our own homelands, in our own schoolrooms, with our own children being taught to hate themselves at every turn. This is part of the official lesson plan now, a genocidal lesson plan. And this is because we just need to be brought down a peg or two because we are just supremacists. We are born privileged. It is so ridiculous. But the second you point out the obvious, you point out the facts about Jews in top-level positions ruining our country, ruining our world, oh, then you are a hateful anti-Semite. That's just what Hitler did. It is absolutely infuriating, but more and more people are starting to get it. This past week, just a few days ago now, we had, was that even just yesterday? We had Valerie Plame. We had put the Plame game going on here. Valerie Plame Wilson, who was made famous through the 2003 Plamegate, aka Leakgate, wherein she was outed as a CIA operative married to an ambassador because of her husband's stance on the Iraq War, the coming invasion, and basically the fabrication of weapons of mass destruction claims against Saddam. So this woman, the CIA operative, Valerie Plame Wilson, she had tweeted out an article from UNS, the UNS Review. Some pretty good stuff there. This article is by Philip Giraldi. He's given some interesting speeches before, and he pulls no punches about how he feels about Israel and Jewish influence in this country. Well, he pulls some punches, but damn, he's out there telling it pretty much as it is. And this article, America's Jews Are Driving America's Wars, has garnered 920 comments thus far. It has sparked a kvetching, a lot of kvetching, and a lot of people probably paying a little bit more attention to what Jews are doing. Since its publication, this article was published September 19th, of course, 2017, and it has really gained a lot of traction after being tweeted by Valerie Plame Wilson. Oh, it should be noted also that Philip Giraldi is also an ex-intelligence asset. He worked for the CIA. These are smart people, okay? And it's well presented in this article. It's just the obvious. He's just calling out the obvious. What anybody with intelligence or an intelligent, not even needing an intelligence background, should be able to see. Connect the dots. 2 + 2 = 4. It's not that hard to see. America's Jews are driving America's wars. Just look at PNAC. Just look at the Bush administration. Just look at the Trump administration. You can look at the Obama administration. You'll see the hands of rubbing. For example, with the Trump administration, just look at that photograph where they're sitting around the game table, in the Situation Room, and they're looking as some rockets are being fired into Syria. And you look at how many Jews are in there. Vast majority. Whoa, 2% of the population. But they're driving America's wars. 2% of the population, but they're all of the goddamn talking heads on the television screens, telling us to hate ourselves because we're white, telling us we need to go fight for greater Israel. Oh, they don't put it in those terms, but that's exactly what they're saying when you put on the good old they live glasses and put in those they live earpieces. They don't have the earpieces and they live, but they could. That's going to be the sequel. I'm making the sequel. And in this instance, we're going to have all of the Jewish messages translated hourly, not visually. It's going to be good. Don't worry about it. It's going to be huge. Huge at the box office, okay? Oh, huge at the box office, which is just ridiculous. I might get to this a little bit later if we get some callers on here. But it's just that Steve Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, is part of this Rat Pack, the Dune Entertainment and all that. He's this Hollywood producer, the Goldman guy. You could see his name at the opening credits of something like 2016's Superman versus Batman. That deserves an analysis. I might get to it a little bit later, depending on who calls in. But just how absurd is that? Oh, DC Comics, and here's Steve Mnuchin presenting as executive producer this fine film. What a clown world in which we live. And it's just great that also Trump's former agent was Ari Emanuel. Pretty much who Ari from that stupid degenerate TV show Entourage, who he was based off of. Yeah, that was Trump's manager. Same guy as that manages Michael Moore. Oh, and that's Rahm Emanuel's brother. It's ridiculous. This is a ridiculous world. I'm not going to read America's Jews Are Driving America's Wars, but just search for that and you'll be able to find it. They do have dual loyalty. Many of them are dual citizens. If it was any other group of people, any other group, red flags would be a flying, and people would be saying, whoa, 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 hold on a second. Why is this administration over 50% Canadian? These are Canadian dual citizens. I don't know if they have America's best interests at heart. Wait a second. Over 50% of this, of whatever, X, Y, or Z, is, Russian? Oh, that wouldn't fly. They're not our greatest ally. What about Finnish? People would say, well, this is a little bit weird. Why is Finland so vastly overrepresented in running our country? But no, when it's Jews who have such a long history of their criminal schemes, who are just behind all of these different financial crises, who are behind all of these different fleecing operations, behind the pornography industry, behind Hollywood, behind this and that, behind the Frankfurt School and cultural Marxism. When it's these people, oh, you can't even question why there are so many of them. It's definitely not because they're privileged. It's because they're just better than us. They're chosen, okay? They have really high Jewish IQs, and they're just doing what's best for us because they were chosen by God to be his elect. Why can't we point out the goddamn obvious that we're being run by Jews? The reason is because everybody knows that this government, because the media, they're lying to us. They're all crooks. Everybody hates the government. And yeah, they might watch the media, but they don't trust the goddamn news. They don't trust any of this. They know that something bad is going on, and they don't want people to catch on that it's Jews doing it to us. It's the Jews, stupid. It's the Jews, stupid white American who sides with them still. Ugh, and this includes you, all right, new right, all light, whatever. Any of you. You know, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how if given the option between ridding the United States of all of our minorities, which would be a significant percentage, some would even suggest over 50% already, but ridding our whole country of minorities or getting rid of the 2% of Jews, many people in the alt-right would choose to get rid of all of the non-whites who aren't Jews, right? They would rather keep the Jews because, hey, they look white to me. They've got high IQs, and we won't have to deal with the beaners, the nogs, and all the ching-chongs and all the rest. It'd be a beautiful white country. And of course, all the other problems that would just start back up. Oh, they'd probably keep running the porn industry. It'd be No Negroes in my bathhouse type of lifestyle here in Wimerica. I would definitely 100,000, 6,000,000% choose to get rid of the Jews and keep all of the other non-whites, at least for the time being, as part of the deal. Because we could deal with all of those non-whites without the Jews poisoning us. We could come to some kind of agreement, or if push came to shove, we would come to some kind of disagreement with them, and we would come out in an agreeable manner. Honestly, if we didn't have Jews, things would work themselves out. Okay? Seems pretty obvious to me. Let's see if you have a different take on that. If you were given the option to kick out all of the non-whites but keep the Jews, but or to do the opposite, what you would do? Let's hear from you. Let's play a clip here from Fox News, this great right-wing news station. Rupert Murdoch is such a shitlord. Sometimes it's just fabulous. Tucker Carlson, by the way, is a right-wing hero. Okay, I don't know if you heard his, if you saw him demolishing that SJW, but oh man, that was good. I'm not speaking of any specific instance. I don't watch Tucker, but some of these idiots love him.
Meanwhile, former CIA officer Valerie Plame under fire this morning after tweeting out an article blaming America's Jews for the country's wars.
Plame is now backtracking on the tweet, saying she didn't read the article thoroughly and had only paid attention to its criticism of neoconservatives.
She said she made a mistake and this was a doozy. Here to react is Harvard University law professor Alan Dershowitz. Professor, good to see you again.
Good to see you.
So Valerie Plame back in the news for something I wasn't expecting. What do you take from this? Do you take her apology?
No, it's much, much worse than the media has presented it. This guy, Philip Girardi, is a well-known anti-Semite. In this article, he says that Jews like me or Bill Kristol, when we appear on television, should have on the bottom of the screen identification saying we're Jews. And he says it's like a warning label on a bottle of rat poison.
Wow.
Ingest at your own
That was
peril.
in
That's
the
in
in the story
this
that she
article.
retweeted.
And all you have to do is read the first couple of paragraphs. Jews control the media. Jews control politics. This is just like what was written in Nazi Germany.
But is it untrue, Dershowitz? Is it untrue that Jews control the media and they control politics? You're being given a complete platform to spew forth what you're saying. Is Valerie allowed to talk, or is Philip Giraldi allowed to talk about the facts? No, so what they're doing here is they're just hurling around. She's an anti-Semite, and it's just like what Hitler did. And of course, he was wrong. He's not even saying that. He's not even saying Hitler was wrong about it. Hitler wrote those things too. They're not calling into question whether or not it's even true. Of course it's true. Of course Jews do all of these things. I love the warning label idea. I think that every news station should be forced to do that. Ingest at your own risk, like rat poison, aka fluoride. Thanks, Jews. Thanks, Edward Bernays. Back to this clip.
And she can't now say, I didn't know what was in it. In 2014, she retweeted another article by this same anti-Semite saying, well thought through. And then after she tweeted it, she said, calm down. There's some good points here. Jews do have a lot of influence. This is her real set of beliefs, and it comes out through her retweeting activity.
It's ironic that she has taken such a public stance on Twitter because she was a central character back during the George W. Bush days
Sure.
with the CIA leak story where her identity was leaked
By
to
Robert
Robert
Novak, yeah.
Novak. And she then just said, he destroyed my life because I was a secret operative, even though she
Well, you know, the
apparently
interesting
was
thing
not,
about
according to
Twitter
reports.
is you do it so quickly, it often reflects your real, genuine beliefs. Then you realize what you've said and you say, "Uh-oh, I'm sorry." But anybody who has this guy Girardi's articles are constantly put on neo-Nazi websites.
Oh,
I actually read the article yesterday because I get on my email some of these neo-Nazi websites. And I read it and I said, oh, another typical kind of neo-Nazi article. But who would imagine that a former CIA operative would retweet that and, I believe, endorse it? Because I don't think this is just retweeting. You know, if you want to retweet something that you disapprove of, you can say that. Oh, read this terrible article about how people claim Jews control the media. This is real.
Wait a second. Okay, is he referencing the Joel Stein article, or is he referencing the other admissions that Jews have made about controlling the media? When Jews talk about it, about their control of the media, they're celebrating it. So they control the media when it's something to be celebrated and when they're the ones doing it. But they don't control the media. That's just an anti-Semitic canard when you're pointing out how the media is corrupt, how it's leading us into these wars. It's always basing these wars off of fabricated lies.
This is retweeting a blatantly anti-Semitic article.
So the president of the United States met with Benjamin Netanyahu, who just lauded him with praise, saying this is this best stance and it's what America has done, backing us up, and we're building a base in Israel for the first time.
God Emperor.
What kind of president has he been for Israel?
Well, he's been
God Emperor, Zog Emperor. That's what he's been. Let's get Dershowitz's take on it. Mike Cernovich's good friend Alan Dershowitz. Picture together.
What kind of president has he been for Israel?
Well, he's been very good. I met with Benjamin Netanyahu when he was here in Israel, and he praised the president's policies on the Middle East. Look, you can disagree with the president on some things, on health care, but when he does the right thing, and I think he's doing the right thing, when it comes to the peace process and supporting Israel, he's going to have my support.
Oh, he's good right now. Isn't that interesting? Yeah, Dershowitz and Mike Cernovich, who has his White House press credentials. Yeah, they did that film Silence together. Mike's film. Oh, oy vey. I'm going to let this clip play out just because it gets me fired up watching this piece of garbage. Oh, he's such a filthy looking creature. I think, honestly, that they could be something out of European folklore. They might be trolls. I'm going to make a new band now. They might be trolls. Kind of like they might be giants. And it's going to be kind of like Schicksagonis, but more for some of the alternative folky type of... It'll be great. Don't worry about it. It'll be huge. Okay? Yeah. So if there's one thing that the alt-right and Alan Dershowitz can agree on, it's that Trump. Oh, what a mensch.
Do most Jews in America support him because of that?
No. Look, the vast majority of Jews voted for Hillary Clinton. I voted for Hillary Clinton. You know, more in this article, this guy says Jews want a war. Jews as a group are less in favor of war generally than other groups. Jews favored the Iran deal disproportionately over other groups. You know, the assumption that Jews always have a dual loyalty and that they only support Israel is a form of anti-Semitism and has to be resisted. Jews, like everybody else, are divided over all these issues, divided over Netanyahu, divided over Israel's policies, divided over Iran. Treat us as individuals. Don't generalize. Don't create
tribe.
Stereotypes. That's the problem with articles like this.
Well, you are the chosen people, and I love you. I'm sorry for all this hate.
Thank you very much for joining us today. It's great to have you on the couch, not up in the Commonwealth.
Well, I'm back in New York now.
Yeah, he's out of here.
Good.
That was brilliant. Well, you're the chosen people, and I love you. Oh, good one. Good one, you dyed blonde hair, you shiksa, you yento in disguise, and whatever you are. Alan Dershowitz, can we talk about how the Jews actually do act as a tribe? Can we talk about one of your Jewish friends named Jeffrey Epstein? Can we talk about him for just a moment? Your great friend, your buddy, in common with Clinton and Trump, which has been discussed ad nauseum. Let's talk about him. Let's talk about Lolita Island. Let's talk about how Jews are central to child rape rings and to human trafficking in Israel. Can we talk about that? You know, one thing that hasn't been mentioned is the goddamn banks. Money. Let's talk about Jewish domination of that. Facts, you piece of filth. Deal this as individuals. How about blaming white people for everything based upon what, you know, a few ancestors might have done hundreds of years ago? But Jews, treat them as individuals. Whites, you are born with the original sin of being white. You need to be exterminated, so saith the Jewish media, you goddamn pieces of filth. Okay, please call in the next segment, 747-999-6407. Again, 747-999-6407. I need somebody to talk to here so I'm not just yelling at the wall all night. Lauren Southern in a diaper? Okay, post the photo in the chat. I'll see if it's photoshopped or not. I know she does cosplay. Oh, there's another one that just loves the Jews. I hate white genocide, but I love the Jews. My grandparents are Jews. I don't know if she did say that her grandparents fled the Nazis. What we should do now is actually hear a little bit from this article about Charles Lindbergh, which has been posted on the Tribune. Well, let's check the time really quickly here, see if I have time to... Okay, no. We'll get to this after the break, when people are just lining up by the dozens to call in and share some brilliant insight. This article about Charles Lindbergh is very instructive. People have known for so long that Jews are behind the wars. You know, I had bookmarked this article to share in the Tribune. It's by Ron McVan. Some time ago, last month, or maybe even 2 months ago. But I just posted it today, and I didn't even make the connection with the whole Valerie blame game thing going on here. But Lindbergh calls them out for being warmongers. Anybody who was paying attention to what was taking place as World War II began knew it was the goddamn Jew. And we're not going to let them do it to us again. Much more coming up. Ever gives us one side of World War II. They don't want us to know the real history of what happened over 70 years ago, seeing through the eyes of the German victims, the horror of the terror bombing, the mass rape of millions of women and children, the torture and murder of civilians, the death camps for surrendered soldiers, the ethnic cleansing of whole countries, and the planned extermination of the entirety of the German people. After watching Hellstorm, you'll never see the good war and the good guys in the same light ever again. Watch for free and get DVDs at hellstormdocumentary.com. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Before the break, I was talking about Valerie Plame Wilson's Mel Gibson moment, but she wasn't drunk, at least not that I know of. And it was backed up with quite a bit of evidence, rather than Mel just hammered, ranting about how, well, Jews are behind all of the wars. And, hey, it's true. It's as true as when Mel said it in 2006 as when Valerie said it just this past week. Exact quote, "The Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world." It is true. Oh, it is true. Maybe not all. Maybe there's some African tribal conflict where the Jew doesn't have his hand in there. Maybe. Guilty and proven otherwise, in my opinion. Oh, you know, Mel definitely apologized. Valerie apologized afterwards. You know, I didn't read it well enough. I didn't really see some of this and that. Oh, you know, but I really can't believe that this supposedly former CIA asset would post an article titled "America's Jews Are Driving America's Wars" without being damn sure she wanted to do so. Do you agree that she knew exactly what she was doing, that this wasn't a mistake, an accident? Call in. Let me know. I personally don't think that this woman is dumb, even though she might be playing dumb here. She might have blonde hair, which might be dyed, but she is no dumb blonde. Which is a stupid, ridiculous Jewish stereotype to begin with. She knew exactly what she was doing, so perhaps this is a psyop of some sort. But the question is it a psyop against us, which I just can't really seem to figure out yet, or is it a psyop against them? We have two former intelligence officers going after the Jewish power structure really hard right now. Well, Valerie kind of backed up a little bit, but Philip Giraldi and Valerie Plame Wilson, at this point, as warmongering is going through the roof with Trump's Jew End speech, where Bibi Netanyahu just couldn't offer enough praise for it afterwards, you know, it seems like this could be an effort by some people who, even if they're not on our side, at least don't want to see us embroiled in World War III. Is that what's going on? Are they actually patriotic? Perhaps. Perhaps they also just represent a very tiny fraction of the tip of the iceberg. A real opposition that has been forming, solidifying, and is going to sink their goddamn ship of state. We'll see. We will see. I did say I would read from this article, then I will get to those callers here. This is just very instructive about Charles Lindbergh and what he was doing with the America First Committee. Colonel Lindbergh addressed his first rally as a member of the America First Committee at the Chicago Arena on April 17, 1941. He was trying to get people to agree with him that the United States, should not get involved in this war. 10,000 people crowded in to hear him, with an overflow of some 4,000 outside. 2 months later, on June 20th, 1941, Lindbergh spoke at the Hollywood Bowl to an estimated crowd of 60,000 to 70,000 people, which at that time was the largest attendance ever amassed at that stadium. Oh, this aviator could sure draw a crowd. And he was very intelligent. This man knew what he was talking about. Lindbergh's controversial speech in Des Moines, Iowa on September 11th, 1941 was the only public address in which he spoke freely about the Jewish menace in America. In that speech, he listed the Jews, along with the British and the Roosevelt administration, as the three most important groups pressing the U.S. into war. Lindbergh's reference to the British as war agitators did not greatly increase attacks upon him, and only rarely was he charged with being an Anglophobe. In striking contrast, however, his reference in the same breath to the Jews as war agitators brought, as expected, a torrent of charges that he was anti-Semitic. Just prior to the Des Moines speech on May 1, 1941, Lindbergh made this diary entry. "Most of the Jewish interests in the country are behind war, and they control a huge part of our press and radio, and most of our motion pictures." After the speech, a woman in Illinois wrote Lindbergh, "I have never so respected and deeply admired any man as I do you. Your wonderful fight against involvement in this war was climaxed by your truthful and courageous speech last night at Des Moines. I thank God that we have men like you of indomitable courage and undying faith in the American tradition. Mr. Lindbergh, you would make a great American president." Hear, hear. I agree. Countless others responded with similar enthusiasm. Public opinion polls of the time indicated that 80% of the American people opposed entry into World War II. FDR was elected by promising them that he would not send American troops abroad to fight a European war. Hey, sounds like Trump, sounds like Obama, sounds like goddamn George W. Bush with his no nation building, you don't want to be the policeman of the world debates. Yeah, we don't want these goddamn wars, but Jews get us into them anyway. After the Des Moines speech, former President Herbert Hoover told Lindbergh that the speech had been a mistake and that in politics, one learned not to say things just because they are true. Lindbergh's response was just as open and to the point as he replied. That was the reason he did not wish to be a politician. He would rather say what he believed than measure every statement he made by its probable popularity. Okay, that's the section I want to read. You can check it out for yourself on Renegade Tribune. Going to the call board here, let's take the call from North Carolina first, then we'll get to South Carolina next. Hello, North Carolina, who's this?
Hey, it's Raleigh Quaid. How you doing, sir?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Raleigh, how are you doing there this fine evening?
I'm doing very good. I want to tell you a little bit more about Charles Lindbergh, if I may.
Go right ahead.
Did you know that his famous speech September 11th, 1941, coincided with the day that the ribbon-cutting ceremony for the Pentagon?
Interesting.
Did you know that?
No,
and,
I...
Go ahead. Let me add on to that, please. They built the Pentagon with no steel. It's completely concrete. Every steel was devoted to the war effort. So their elevators were made with lifts that didn't have steel in it, and they were designed to have golf carts, you know, steel free. Like every single ounce of steel was devoted to making bullets for the World War II era and office buildings to plan for wars well afterwards. And Charles knew that. And so that's what the 1941 speech was about. And September 11th, he didn't believe in this type of new world order. He believed in a very different trajectory for the world order.
Yes. You know what's just amazing about this man is his courage throughout his whole life, and his father as well. He got a lot of, you know, his spark from his pop. But the flight that he took across the Atlantic, six people had tried before him. He was the first to make it. That means, of course, that six people died before him. Six people died doing what he was about to do. He went through with it anyway, even after not getting any sleep the night before his voyage. And his flight lasted almost 34 hours. 34 hours. He didn't sleep the night before. He was having a hard time staying awake and dealing with a lot of rough conditions. But he made it, and of course that's what made him such a huge hero. And that's why Goering gave him a medal before the war, which he refused to give back, even though Roosevelt was pressuring him to return the medal. He didn't see any reason why he should. He had balls. Courage.
absolutely amazing. And also amazing is Valerie Plame as being the go-to source to throw somebody under a bus. You know, how many scandals has women been a part of, you know? Her husband just wrote an editorial about his opinion about the war. That was it, you know?
Yeah.
And now this, you know, just making a... What was it, just Twitter post?
She just tweeted out the link to America's Jews Are Driving America's Wars. But I think she knew exactly what she was getting into. Do you agree? She knew the scandal that would ensue. She knew what the article said. I just don't know exactly why she did it, the motivations. But do you agree that this was deliberate?
It could very possibly be. You know, she could be just, you know, patsy to have a scandal laid down upon her, you know? Anti-Semitism. Yep.
But to hear this being discussed on Fox News the way it was with that Dershowitz clip, it gives me great pleasure, I must admit. I like this conversation being out there in the open and hearing that stupid woman saying, oh, well, you know, you're the chosen people, and I love you.
Wasn't Alan Dershowitz acting like he's the new best friend of the alt-right movement a little while back ago?
I don't know if he was. I know his connections with Mike Cernovich, but you know he definitely is now pretty pro-Trump. He wants to support him for being so good with the peace efforts that Trump is undertaking and his relationship with Israel.
He doesn't even look like the bag of skin that he owns.
Dershowitz wants us to treat all Jews individually. But Dershowitz is going to judge somebody based solely on their relationship with Israel. He thinks completely tribally, but he wants you to think of them all as just individuals with different motivations. And they couldn't possibly be like a goddamn Borg hive mind system, even though they have their stupid black cubes and their system of hierarchical domination with the Kahila, where they have all of these different organizations that unite them together. They obviously are a Borg-like hive mind. So no, I won't treat Jews like you, Alan Dershowitz, or Bill Kristol as individuals. You are part of the collective.
Absolutely incredible, Kyle. Do you mind if I take it off the air and listen in?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the call, Raleigh.
Yep, thank you.
Okay, take care. Let's now go to South Carolina. Welcome, who's this?
Hey, man, my name's Zach. How you doing today?
Zach, I have not heard from you before on this network. Is this a first-time call?
This is a first-time call, absolutely. I've been listening for, I don't know, probably a year or so. Been going through the archives a good bit. Love Charles Giuliani. I hope he comes back.
He might
sometime soon.
He might come back next month. We'll hold our fingers, cross our fingers here. Don't hold your breath though.
Yeah,
breathing's important.
Yeah. I'm holding my breath. I'll be honest. I love that dude, man.
Yeah, he does good shows.
Yes, he does. I'm gonna backtrack just a little bit and just say that I totally agree with you 100% about getting rid of the Jews rather than the non-whites in the country. Because like you said, we can control them if we want to, you know?
I'd even be up for giving away whole states. America's huge. I don't like ceding territory, but I'll be honest, if I was to sit down at a negotiation table, I'd make some concessions. We could work out something that would be agreeable to all parties, even though, I mean... We have to understand that some of these people have been here for a long time. The blacks that are in America, yeah, I think maybe if they wanted to go back to Africa, that'd be great. But I wouldn't necessarily make that part of my party platform.
Well, you know, I mean, something that I've talked about with other like-minded individuals, west of the Rockies. And I was listening to a show a while back. I think it was... John from Canada talking about paying reparations. I'll be honest with you. I know it may sound, you know, when I bring this up to some of my peers, they look at me with a "Have you lost your mind?" look. But I'm all for paying reparations. But like John from Canada said, that's the end of it. It's over. You know, here's your $100,000 a piece or whatever. You know, we're white Americans. We can come back from any, if we get out from under this Jewish control bullshit, we get out from under this Fed, we can come back from any financial hardship. You know,
I'd argue we that, can do that. I'd argue that blacks have already received plenty of reparations, and a lot of it was absolutely unjust.
I'm not denying but, that one bit.
You know, it's however, it's kind of like paying all of the Arab invaders or North African invaders into Europe, paying them to leave instead of having bloody conflicts in the street. It'd be worth it. Paying them a good chunk of change just to get the hell out would be worth it. And it would be much better for international relations than if it was just to be an all-out race war. And I think sometimes that's what the Jews are really pushing for.
Well, absolutely. They absolutely want a race war. That's what this this whole monument taking down bullshit's about, man. They, half of these blacks, probably more than half, I would say 90% of these blacks, have no clue who Robert E. Lee is. You walk up to him in the street, hey, you want to take that monument down? It was put up, it's a Civil War leader. Absolutely, it's racist. But you know who it is? Well, that's Robert E. Lee. He was actually against slavery. You know, and
it doesn't
they
matter.
Have no freaking clue.
If it's a white man, if it's a statue of white man, it's automatically a statue of white supremacy in this country. I bet even if it was some kind of abolitionist, you can convince them to tear it down.
Bill Clinton, you know, we had a, I'm right outside of Georgia. You know, or, you know where the Masters are played in Augusta,
yes.
Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
We're right outside of there. And I don't know if we're just not feeling those effects down here quite as bad, but I guess it was whoever George Soros funds to take down the monument. We've got a monument that's actually, it's kind of personal to us because the guy on top is actually a Confederate soldier from North Augusta, South Carolina. And they put a monument over in Augusta off of Broad Street. And, you know, there was supposedly a rally, and I snuck around in that for a little bit. And really, to be honest with you, man, it was nothing. There was nobody down there. There was some jackass with a bullhorn talking about racism. But, I mean, there's like 15 blacks and 12 whites down there.
It seems like it's
just ridiculous.
It's AstroTurf. They're waging a psychological warfare campaign against us to get us convinced that just hundreds of thousands, millions and millions of people are just for these things, for tearing down the monuments and for hate speech laws, when it's just a paid for movement of actors and agitators and state agents. And the vast majority of the people out there really don't care about these things at all. In my own personal experience, I haven't seen any kind of real rise in anti-white hatred from the people I encounter. And actually, during times of severe agitation, such as the Trayvon Martin case, when George Zimmerman was, the verdict was getting ready, I was actually living in Sanford, which is where it was taking place, where Trayvon was shot, supposedly. I don't know. There might be a psyop to that. It seems like there could be. But the point is, the people I was encountering out in the streets, the blacks were being overly nice to me. Like, they didn't want to have any kind of ill will between us. It was interesting.
Right. And you know, a lot of the blacks in the South, and that's one of the reasons why I say, hey, let's get rid of the Jews, keep the blacks. A lot of them, like you said, are overly nice to white people just on a general day-to-day basis. Now, of course, you have the, and I'm speaking about the South. I can't speak to New York or California or anything like that, but I can, you know, in my day-to-day routine. There's a couple of shitheads, but generally they're typically polite as far as around here is concerned. So that's why I think that we can pretty much control them. I'm not saying that I want to live amongst them. I don't want my kids to be to live amongst them.
Agreed.
But, like, I agree that we can control them without the 2% agitation involved in that. And I believe that a lot of them, you know, you flash $100,000 cash in their face and, hey, you know, there's a, you know, couple hundred square miles the other side of the Rockies over there. It belongs to y'all if y'all take it. Or you can take this $100,000 and this airplane ticket and carry your butts back to Africa or wherever you came from. But,
you know,
but that's the end of it.
You say that we could control them. I understand what you mean, but I wouldn't want to lord over them to rule them in any way. Although I do think that some white people could be used to help lead them. I wouldn't want it to be like how the Jews led the NAACP and agitated them against whites. I'd want to actually be able to, you know, send some people to help them get themselves back on their feet somehow, to set a good example. When you actually had segregation in the United States and you didn't have such an extreme Jewish influence, you didn't have such depravity being promulgated, the black family was actually intact. They dressed well. They spoke English. They weren't speaking Ebonics. It was the black so-called liberation that turned them into the absolute nightmare that they are today. You know, of course they had their tendencies back then, and perhaps they were somewhat aping the white man, and that's not their true state, so that's oppressive. But hey, it was working out pretty well for them, and it was working out pretty well for us.
Well, you know, the pre-1968 black family was doing a hell of a lot better than the present-day black family. And I honestly believe that it's because they competed amongst themselves.
And that's important, you know, with partner selection as well. When they were just competing amongst themselves, black men vying with black men for the love of their own black women, they were much happier. This was a good game system. But when you also have them, you know, not only chasing after all sorts of different kinds of women, and then the black women are all sorts of angry about it, and then they're going after white boys and all the mess that we have today. Not only that, you have them comparing themselves to white people, which really gets them to have a chip on their shoulder. They feel like they're not beautiful enough, they're not smart enough. You need to compare yourself to your own people. Compete amongst your own. Don't always be trying to gain approval or to measure yourself against the white man. We are different. I don't feel inferior or ashamed because I cannot sprint like a black sprinter. Because I'm a white man.
Exactly.
That's not what I'm built for.
Exactly. And if they compete amongst themselves in intelligence and ingenuity and whatever else, you know, their shooting hoops ability, whatever you want to classify it as, that's fine. But when they start comparing their intellect to our intellect and trying to compete with us financially and industrially, if that's a word, but you understand what I mean.
Yeah, well, and that's where white privilege actually had to come from. This is why it was invented, was because they were comparing themselves to us. It was obvious. They weren't doing as well in school. They weren't doing as well economically. They weren't doing as well in all these different sorts of ways. And they are coming from the assumption that we're all equal. We've been told all these, for so long, that we're all equal. So if we're not getting equal outcomes, it must be because of this invisible privilege that we're not doing well. Not because of any fault of our own, not because of any, you know, any genetic differences. It's because of this thing called white privilege and systemic racism. That's the only way that this could be explained, because of course we're just all equal.
And white people bought into it because of Christ's insanity, where in the Bible it tells us, Southern Baptist, that we're all the same. We're all the same in God's eyes. Mm-hmm. You know, we were all created in his image, and the only difference in blacks and whites is the color of their skin, and of course the murder rate. But that's a, I was raised Southern Baptist, and I tell you what, that's a hard disease to shake, man. I'll be honest with you.
That's probably why you like listening to Charlie. I was raised as a Irish Roman Catholic, and it was a part of my life. I had to go to CCD, but I don't think it was probably nearly the same level of Christ insanity, to be honest, as it was for you.
Oh, it was completely insane, and I had already pretty much decided that whole thing was bullshit, and then I started living. I decided that it was bullshit because I felt that it was bullshit. I didn't know why. If you can understand that, you know, you just kind of feel something wrong. And then I started listening to Charlie a little bit, and you know, doing my own research into it, and I found out, yeah, I was right. It's all a load of horseshit.
You know, I think one of my biggest moments where I had the crisis of faith was when I was confirmed as a Catholic. Isn't that interesting? And I saw this, what was it, a bishop or the big church regional leader of some sort. I think it was probably a bishop came for the confirmation. I saw him up there in his stupid dress with his stupid big hat. And I thought, is this guy really a representative of God? Is this guy really pretending like he is something holy? This is ludicrous. By that time, I'd already become a little bit aware enough. I was, you know, becoming a teenager, and I didn't buy it. I couldn't buy it anymore. Hey, Zach, we have a few other calls here. So just you want to hang on the line? We're going to be going to a break in just a few seconds here. Well, we'll talk to you more after the break, and we'll pick up these other callers as well.
Sure.
All right. Sure. Looks like we might have Raleigh coming back in as well, or somebody else from North Carolina. It might be a different caller. Okay.
That's Raleigh again.
Okay, Raleigh, we'll get you after the break here. Stay tuned, everyone. Second hour coming up.
From below. Hail, hail, Sunna, shine bright so we may go. Hail, hail, Sunna, light up the farthest shore. Hail, hail, Sunna, steer us forevermore. Hail, 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 Sunna.
That doesn't mean you need to stop listening to Renegade Broadcasting. A good way to catch our shows while you're on the go is by finding us on TuneIn Radio. There is an app for your iPhone or Android, TuneIn.com. There are also plenty of other ways to access the 24/7 stream right on the homepage at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. And that first button underneath the player is a direct link to our page on TuneIn Radio. Please remember to follow us and share with your friends.
You're listening to Renegade Broadcasting. Board is lighting up. We will get to some of these callers here. We'll go back to Raleigh first, though. Raleigh Quaid, welcome back.
We talked about athletic abilities between white and blacks. I think that we can launch into talking about my article about Max Schmeling, supposedly this pawn in the game for Adolf Hitler that was nothing more than a Marxist.
How about this? How about you give us a quick rundown of this fighter? Because people should check out your article. I don't think enough people did. I enjoyed it. I didn't know really anything about him, to be honest. So this was rather enlightening for me. So please go through that. But we do have some other callers to get into here. But boxing in general, it has not been determined who is the best fighter. You know, whether it's the black man or the white man, this is an interesting one where weightlifting, you have a definitive winner. It's the white man. With sprinting, you have a definitive winner is the black man. With boxing, it has passed back and forth. I'd say with fighting, it's more likely to be the white man. But with boxing as a specific sport, it passes back and forth, as I said. But Raleigh, go ahead with this, and then we'll get to some of these other callers we have on the air.
Yeah, I decided to write this article because I read an interview with Bob Arum saying that this was his most significant fight that he's ever seen, and it was George Lewis versus Max Schmeling in 1963, where Joe Lewis knocked out Max Schmeling.
36.
Actually, they fought twice, excuse me.
36. 1936.
Yeah, 38. 38's the rematch.
Okay, you said 63. I was just trying to.
Yeah, that was the first match they had. I was trying to clarify. In 1938, he knocked out Schmeling in 200 seconds of the first round.
I watched it. Pretty good. Pretty good knockout. He did handle him pretty well, Lewis.
And this was supposed to be this great triumphant between democracy and Nazism, but Max Schmeling liked to socialize with homosexuals, communists, and Jews in the Weimar period, and he was socialized during that era. That was his heyday. In my article, I wrote about certain Jewish historians that thought that he was their plaything, their fetish. He was getting nude photos of him, you know, by Jewish artists, and the expressionistic sort of manner and statues built to him freakishly made. And he liked to hang out with them. And that's who was, when he was hitting pads and hitting his heavy bag, it wasn't Adolf Hitler and Rudolf Hess and Joseph Goebbels. There's no stock footage of these guys watching him train. How are you going to say that this is, you know, the Nazi boxer? You know, he was hanging out in New York during the Nazi reign. That's where he liked to hang out when Nazis took power, and he was taking these fights. And by the time they got to a rematch, he was not a prize fighter. He was washed up and old. And
he had Jewish manager as well. Can you mention him?
Yeah, he had a Jewish manager who did the, during the German national anthem, he did the Nazi salute, but he did it with a cigar in his mouth. They called him Yussel the Muscle. His name was Jacobs. And he was part of Al Capone's outfit, and he was personally managing him and basically muscling him through this particular agent. And you mean to tell me that he's Adolf Hitler's agent in the field, but he's, you know, Al Capone's bitch at the same time? No, sir. You know, that is completely wrong, and I documented pretty well in my documentary that I wrote about an Allied myth being left over. In 1936, the Olympics was in Berlin, and supposedly Jesse Owens, you know, took the gold medal for running, you know, track. And this was the same year that Germans basically took over 33 gold medals. I wrote in my article how many we took, you know, the Germans took home. They stockpiled the medals.
Oh yeah, if they were trying to prove their Aryan supremacy after only having National Socialism for 3 years, well, they definitely did it. And they also televised the whole thing. 3 years after being in power, they televised everything. The United States didn't get this kind of technology into the homes of the people until at least a decade later. They were so advanced. And just the absolute athletic ability of these German people was incredible. And they even, I mean, it wasn't just the athletic ability, it was their generosity in some instances. Who was the long jumper? I'm blanking on his name, but the long jumper from Germany actually allowed for Jesse Owens to win the gold medal by giving him some advice on how not to foul out, because Jesse Owens kept fouling out, stepping over the line before his jump. And this man basically, there was an article actually about this, I think a while ago on the Tribune. And this man actually decided, who he's competing against, he decided, hey, you know, I'll just give him some advice. He's obviously the better jumper. He's just not doing it right, and he should be the one to win it. This is just this kind of sportsmanship that we should have. And the Olympics does bring out some of the best in the various races of the world. But you're right. It's so incredible that they try to use the Olympics as a proof of how this Aryan superiority myth is totally bunk, when in fact they dominated the Olympics. And this is where they really put a lot of attention. And the Olympic ceremony, just passing the torch passing, of course, it started with National Socialist Germany. It's something that's still embraced to today. And it's just one of these things, this remnants to just remind us that indeed they were very advanced culturally and athletically and in a number of different ways. Raleigh, I'd like to get to some of these new callers here. Anything else you want to add on this subject before we get to them?
Yeah, I could talk all day about it, but one last thing. You know, the failed art student Adolf Hitler designed the logo for the Olympics, and he supposedly did not have an artistic mind at all. And you see these beautiful, beautiful torches being resurrected in the Olympics. And I got to tell you, I don't think that he was a failed artist.
Yes, indeed. You look at some of his paintings, they're absolutely incredible. Yeah. Let me just get that long jumper's name so that people will know here. I'll get that in a second. Anyway, Raleigh, thanks for calling in. Appreciate it. Do you want to hang out in the line, or do you want me to play go?
You can just let me know if you want me back on the line.
All right. Sounds good. Luz Long. The story of Luz Long and Jesse Owens at the long jump. I always thought it was funny that the German long jumper was named Luz Long. Isn't that something? Okay, we'll go to the call board here. A caller from Canada. Should I soften on my policy of excluding Canadians?
We do actually have to get to the caller from California first, and we will also get back to Zach. So we'll get to California first, then I will give a shot with Canada. Very suspicious with Canadians. I think this is this another suspicious caller? Is this Sean?
Yes, it is, Kyle. It's Sean from California. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Sean. What's going on with you?
Not much, man. I don't want to hijack the subject because I think you guys are doing a really good job at the subject, but I know this is going to come up, everything about what happened previously with us, so I'd like to just, bring up a couple things on this, if you don't mind.
Some people likely have no idea what you're talking about, so...
Well, that's good. That's a good
okay, how about this? How about this?
You
can have a brief introduction. Let people know what you're even talking about, and then you can say your piece. You did do a wild card show on this network, which is where this all stemmed from. Okay,
right.
So go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Here's what I have to say about that. I did a wild card, and I still appreciate the fact that you let me do that. I think that was very cool of you. But the point is I was attacked. It seemed like for really no reason. And I found that I don't know. I think this has happened before. I've seen a pattern when it comes to Renegade with people that even have the very slightest variance of viewpoints. My viewpoint is so slightly different than what you guys have. And I was I was attacked in a way that I is almost unbelievable.
I would like to
quote somebody that put out an article a while back. Okay. And it says, this is somebody that was blocked on the comment board as I am now. It says, I am sure they will be like all the other ops and refuse to mention my attacks on them. He was talking about because now he feels free to attack you. I don't feel free to attack you. I still think you guys are have some qualities that I still like. I'm sure they will be like all the other ops and refuse to mention my attacks on them. You see, ops only attack other ops. And this is done to make sure that the Goy Cattle Duke readers aren't aware of real opposition. Of course, if despite all the ignoring, the person of note gains notoriety, all the ops then together attack the upstart, uncoopted free thinker who doesn't follow the pecking order. For 10 enemies and allies alike, doesn't matter as long as they get paid behind the curtain. I have not reached that point yet, however. There are two folks who have openly acknowledged my pinpricks. Veronica Clark and Miles Mathis. Everyone else pretends I don't exist. And I noticed this before, where I would be on the shows, and I wasn't even looking for positive feedback. I was also looking for negative feedback, but there would not be any. I thought that was strange, because I think I would be attacked as much as I would be maybe supported. And I didn't see any of that. I thought that was very strange, because I thought like a lot of people would be like, hey, this guy's got his head in his ass or whatever. And I didn't see much of that, even as many times as I was on the shows. So I just think it's strange, Kyle. I just want to,
Okay, what I'll say is this. I really don't waste a whole lot of time going into comment sections. I don't like having to be the moderator of the one on Renegade Broadcasting and on Renegade Tribune. That's why I have a voting system where people can vote as well. Yes, that can be hijacked. People know how to use all sorts of different IPs, but it's usually pretty honest, it seems, with the will of the people. You went into the comment section of your show, and some people weren't agreeing with you. They didn't like what you some of the things that have been said.
I called them short names. I called them shortness because that's all they deserve.
And you really went wild just calling people faggots left and right.
I called one person a fag because his comment was so ridiculous.
You didn't do yourself any favors. I wasn't going to ride in on a white horse and try to rescue you. As for the people that... As for the people that have some problem with Renegade, they might have been a fan for some time. They might have even done something with the network. And then they just go off in a huff. Or they get booted. That happens too. They will just spend all of their time, it seems some of them, obsessing over what we're doing. Because we don't obsess back, somehow we're shills. Because we don't respond to every single attack that comes against us, often by irrelevant people, we're somehow shills. I have more important things to do, more important, interesting things to talk about on this show than about some personal, stupid BS drama that most people aren't even aware of. You're wasting my time here, Sean. You're wasting my time. Do you not see that?
You're absolutely correct. Yeah, it is a waste of time on the show, and I apologize for that. But I knew that would come up, you know, because...
But it's not just my time. I don't mind you wasting my time. I mind you wasting everyone's time here. Right, do you have anything relevant to say? Anything important that doesn't have to do with this stupid BS that you got into because of a comment section?
For a couple of years with important things to say. You know, and then I tried to put in... I buy mics. I do my best. I put in my best efforts, okay, and I put on a show that the best show I could do, being my first show, and I get shit on.
You made yourself look like a jackass in the comments. You didn't do yourself any favors.
These commenters, man. I don't think these people are for real, man.
Probably a good portion of them are not.
I don't, man. I don't think these people are for real. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, at first we had some positive comments, and I was actually surprised because I was surprised at all that you'd give me a platform at this point, you know. And so, you know, I was surprised that you'd give me a platform. No, I kind of knew it was an ambush, and it was, you know. It's like, you know, the fact that, the biggest attacks on me was one that was too smooth, which is ridiculous. I was nervous as hell. But second of all, that I had a half Hispanic who's Spaniard, who's European, on the show. I mean, that's fucking ridiculous, man. You guys have had black people. You've had Martinez. You've had all these other people.
It wasn't just her genetic makeup.
For those reasons.
I have never had Martinez. I don't think Martinez has ever appeared on the network, to be honest. Nick has had some non-whites. I've had a Palestinian on. I've had an Indian on. I've had plenty of people on. It wasn't who she was genetically. It was what she was saying. It was her words that people disagreed with. Okay. It wasn't that you brought a non-white person on.
Isn't it better that you? I mean, because kind of she is a free thinker. Isn't it kind of good that people have a slightly different opinion? Doesn't it make better radio? I mean, am I wrong?
Did I ever yell at you for the show? Did I?
No, you didn't. But you know, I have a real problem with some of these commenters.
Okay,
they don't ever call in.
You could take it up with them, Sean. I would like to move on with the show here for tonight. Okay. I don't think this is good radio for the listeners.
All right,
I'm going to
check out Kyle. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
Have a good time.
Take care, Sean. That was Sean and Callie. Okay, we have, a call coming in from Canada. Hello, Canada. Who's this?
Hello, Kyle. This is Alex from Ottawa, Canada. I don't know if you know me or knew of me, but I've always been a big fan and follower of Renegade. In fact, I used to call frequently to a former show.
I know, Alex, all about you. I'm not that interested in talking about death metal, black metal, or anything like that tonight.
I'm not going to get into that. I know you're not interested in that, and that's fine. I just wanted to listen in, and I wanted to still feel that there's a chance that, you know, as long as you guys are still on here and, you know, discussing what we need to do, you know, it does still give me some amount of hope because it's been getting a little scary and perturbing and hard for me every day. I go about every day here where I'm at here in the capital, Canada, and, you know, just still always trying to figure out what I need to do. I don't know, but I just wanted to listen in, and if you thought that I was going to bore you with metal music, I don't want you to think that. I I understand not everyone's a metalhead, and that's cool.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to bring back on Zach into this call because we haven't heard from him in quite some time here. A first-time caller. Zach.
Hey.
Well, we went on some different tracks after we got sidetracked.
Wow, the road took a fork or an X or something there, didn't it? I'd like to respond to, what was his name, Sean in California.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going to say this, my piece real quick, because this kind of agitates the shit out of me a little bit. You know, our kids are being kidnapped and raped by the elite. Our women are being raped by these are stolen from us. Our military is all fighting a Jewish war. And this guy's worried about himself, you know, and what people think of him. There's bigger problems out there to talk about, bro. Just let it go.
That's, you know, that is.
And that's all I'm going to say about it. That's, you know, I know I didn't touch on all the problems, but I guess what I'm saying is that there's a whole huge world of problems that need to be talked about. And, you know, tighten your diaper up and let's move on.
Yeah, yeah. So what are some of the other problems that you've been looking at here? What's really smacking in the face here as just something that is just so either obvious or obnoxious or just pressing that perhaps we can wake people up with it?
Yeah, I have a question, and maybe you can answer it, and it's probably been answered 100 times. And maybe I'm just a layman and I don't quite understand. I understand that Jews are in control of everything. And I understand also that white people are the builders of civilization since the dawn of time. I honestly believe that that we built Egypt, the pyramids, and the great civilizations from there. The Nordic civilizations, we've traveled the oceans long before Christopher Columbus was born or even thought about. And Jews have been around for just as long, leeching off of us, basically. Why, and I understand how they're trying to destroy us, and I understand that they are trying to destroy us, but it doesn't, and maybe this is just me being a white man, but it doesn't make sense to drill holes in the ship that you're riding on. And maybe you can put it in kind of layman terms for me as to what exactly do you plan on accomplishing, I guess, from a Jewish point of view, by eliminating the people that you've been leeching off of for 3,000 plus years?
I think that they're looking to jump ship. The Aryan man and woman... we're not easily controlled. We're not easily enslaved. We're very clever, and we want to be free. So they had to mentally enslave us. But they could only do this for so long before we would wake up, and we're seeing this right now. We're too volatile. We're too creative. We're too inquisitive. So it looks like they are looking at other slaves to be there. To be their host at the time being. They already have some in the works. The Asians, the Chinese in particular, they're very intelligent, but they make for better drones, better slaves, and they're pretty damn good at that, at the job. There are also, of course, some of the Africans and the mestizos and the Arabs who they use, but we also have to think about the robotics revolution, which has been steered recently, along with transhumanism, by Jewish minds. And this digital age could prove to be one in which all of us, the goyim, become obsolete. They don't need any more Shabbos goy. They've got robots to do it for them. So perhaps they'll get rid of us all.
But it's the white man's innovation that has led us to where we are now.
I don't think that necessarily they want to destroy us all. They just don't want us to be as much of a threat anymore, which is why they're trying to reduce our numbers. And I think that they are trying to hedge their bets by having a lot of Jewish operatives involved with the pro-white struggle. Yes, it's for subversion in some regards, but I think they're also trying to build alliances between the white man and the Jew. I mean, they've had these alliances going back a long time, but they're trying to basically get the nationalists in Europe and in America to see the kind of right-wing Jew as a natural ally in the defense of the West. You see this with people like Tommy Robinson.
That just can't happen. It's in their blood to be against. They can't. In my opinion, there's no such thing as a good Jew. They're all, you know.
What about former Jews? What about good former Jews? What's your thoughts on that?
Good former Jews?
Well, people like Gilad Atzmon, and there's a whole article, but the myth of the good Jew on Renegade Tribune about Gilad. But yeah, Gilad Atzmon considers himself a former Jew. He doesn't identify as a Jew anymore because he doesn't support their tribal interests or their religion and things like this. So, honestly, I think
I still don't know because it's a race. It's a race of people. It's almost like, even though a black man doesn't agree with what his black people are doing in Chicago, murdering each other, that doesn't mean that you, the white man, can walk up and lecture him about his blackness or his black brothers. You know, automatically he's going to side with the nearest black. You know what I'm saying? Same goes for the Jews. If even though this particular Jew doesn't agree with what's going on in Israel or the treatment of the Palestinians or, you know, whatever the case may be, and you, the Goyim, the white man, approach him and lecture him on the Jewish misbehavior, he's automatically going to side with the Jew. Or at least that's my feeling.
Well, I agree with you that it's not just a religion. It has a racial component. You can see this with all the diseases that they have in common. And as George Lincoln Rockwell said, I can't draw a picture, a cartoon of a Protestant up here and have you recognize it, but I could sure draw a picture of a Jew and you know exactly what I was talking about. All right, last half hour coming up. Stay tuned, everyone, and call in.
I've always believed that Britain is a country of migrants. I'm Jewish. Some of my family came in the late 19th century. I'm Sephardi on my mother's side.
The Liberal Democrats will always stand up for a Britain that is open, tolerant and diverse. And in that spirit, I very much welcome the Jewish European Election Manifesto, calling for a strengthening of EU hate crime legislation. As a party, we wholeheartedly value the relationship we have with the Jewish community, both in Britain and internationally.
Around the world we grow, we curse, we expand.
welcome back for the last half hour here. We're talking on the other side of the break about the good Jew and whether or not they even exist. I'd argue that there was a fairly great Jew that did exist. And I think that if you're going to worship a dead Jew, you know, a lot of people have Jesus, I think that it'd be a better option if you worshipped as part of the cult of the Bobby Fischer King, Bobby Fischer, the great chess champion. Oh, he spoke out fiercely against the Jews. And I think that Bobby knew deep down in his heart that he might not be able to see checkmate against them, but that it's possible. I don't think he would have done what he did unless he thought a checkmate against them was possible. This man was brilliant. He was a sacrificial piece. I won't say he's a queen. That would not be... that wouldn't sound good. A sacrificial knight. And, man, he really laid into them. They're lying bastards. Jews were always lying bastards throughout their history. They're filthy, dirty, disgusting, vile, criminal people. My main interest right now is to expose the Jews. This is a lot bigger than me. They're not just persecuting me. This is not just my struggle. I'm not just doing this for myself. This is life and death for the world. These goddamn Jews have to be stopped. They're a menace to the whole world. He said some pretty incendiary things. America is totally under control of the Jews. Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, we are. Where is that quote about nature? Oh, come on now. Come on now. Jews hate nature and the natural order because it's pure and beautiful, and also because it's bigger and stronger than they are, and they feel that they cannot fully control it. Nature's beauty and harmony stands in stark contrast to their squalidness and ugliness, and that makes them hate it all the more. Jews are destroyers. They are anti-humans. Bobby Fischer, of course, is a Jew himself, at least ethnically. I'd say perhaps not spiritually there, intellectually. He was a fierce man. That man was brilliant. Absolute genius, chess master. This symbol of the United States defeating Boris Spassky, defeating the Russian bear with his mind. United States is seen as a bunch of brutes, pretty much. Not the intellectual giants. And then along comes Bobby Fischer, dominates, chess master, 3 years, absolute prodigy. And then, oh, he's nuts. Oh, he's talking about Jewish power now. He's nuts. Throw him in the loony bin. Cuckoo. You're right. Zach, you familiar with Bobby and his story?
I am not, actually. However, the only rebuttal I have to that is, when the time comes, do we actually have time to sit down and interview him?
No, but if Bobby was alive today...
You know what I mean?
But if Bobby was alive today, I think we could very well say... That's a keeper. Bobby himself advocated that the way to solve this problem was to round up the high level traitors and to execute them, and then just to re-educate everyone else, meaning all the other Jews. But to
I've done some thinking, and you know, I kind of hate to admit this, but I still kind of believe in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, or at least the first 10 of them, the originals. And I honestly think that it can work if we don't have this outside agitation. You know, it's not a living, breathing document. It's written in plain English for plain people to understand. And I think that if we go through our Congress, any living or seated member of Congress, and try them for treason, and when and or if they're found guilty, you take them straight from the courtroom to the gallows and be done. And I think that that a lot of people will start straightening up at that point. And as far as the Jews are concerned, they just got to go. There's no questions asked about that. If you've ever claimed to be a Jew or fought for Jewish supremacy, that's just pretty much the end of it, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, the problem needs to be dealt with. That's really the message that needs to be
put. Where do we go from here without tearing the whole system down? They're so entrenched, and I've heard you discuss it and a lot of other hosts on your show. Basically, we're not going to vote our way out of this mess. We're not going to elect the right person. It's too rigged against us. I'm not a voter. I've always believed that it's just a scam to begin with.
Well, I think the first step in solving a problem is informing as many of the people as possible that there is a problem. Showing them the problem.
Right. This race war that they're trying to start, I've told several of my friends, look, you know, whether you're racist or not, whether you're a supremacist or not, whether you're married to a black or not, it doesn't matter. Your skin is going to be your uniform, and that's who they're going to go after. They're not going to stop and interview you before they put a bullet in you.
Yeah. They don't right now. Our people are being
exactly
murdered, tortured out there just for being white. And we have
just
people
being white. And people, if it happens on a large scale, like I said, it doesn't matter. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, hey, I don't have anything to worry about. I'm not racist. Yeah. We're all the same. Hey, buddy, guess what? You're same color as I am. And it don't matter if you're carrying a Christian cross or a Nazi flag, buddy, you got a target on you.
Well, yeah, because you know why? The Jewish minds who run academia, who run the media, who run the politicians, run the whole media. They run the whole mind control operation, and they have convinced everybody out there that the white man needs to die, and that includes the white woman. White people need to die for there to be real social justice. That's what Oprah Winfrey said. That's what countless people have said. The head of the New Black Panthers Party was, you know, pardoned by Eric Holder. You got to kill the white babies. Yelling it on the streets. But if you so much stick up for your race, if you say, I love my people, if you hold a sign, I love my people, as a white person, you're a hate criminal. You are the worst thing in the world. You need to be vilified endlessly. But that black man out there, he's just venting his frustration when he's calling for the murder of young white children, babies. Or this rapper, Extension, who had this video, this music video, where he's hanging a young white boy in it, graphically.
Yeah.
Well, it's just free speech. It's just his artistic expression.
I bet you can't walk out in the street and put a noose around a little black baby's neck without some kind of hell being rained down on you.
You can't.
But this guy can.
You can't have a noose. You can't have something that looks like a noose. On a college campus, there are instances of this where, oh my God, there's a noose in the tree. No, that's just something else. It's just some rope that came loose. People are triggered over the slightest thing. Somebody was triggered over a banana peel that, I guess, missed the trash can. Oh, they're making fun of black people. It's absolutely insane. But yeah, you can literally lynch an innocent young white boy. Oh, he's not innocent. He was born white with privilege. You can innocent. Oh, You could hang a young white boy. That's just his freedom of expression to do that. Or all of this privilege talk, this psychological warfare that's being waged against us. That's just education. That's education, okay? It's just learning tolerance and diversity. Targeting one specific racial group and making them feel like shit. Blaming everything on them. I can't believe it's gotten to this. So many people need to be held accountable. So what I'm getting at is, if the shit hits the fan, Yes, we need to defend ourselves, but those people, they need to be the first to pay for their crimes. It needs to happen right now. So you're saying what should happen here? What needs to be done? People with positions of any kind of power, and people out there, you have more power than you can possibly imagine. Whether it's within the government, without the government, well, you've got to start doing your job. The future of the world depends on you doing your duty to your people. Doing a duty, a service to mankind, to the whole world, all the living creatures and inanimate objects upon it. As Bobby Fischer was saying, the whole world is at stake. That's why he was doing what he was doing. He could have lived a life of fame and luxury. No. These people need to be stopped. So we need to get our acts together, and we need to stop it. Sometimes I feel like I'm just a little bit of a sideshow out here. Yeah, we're helping to inform. We're helping to get more people on board with the cause. But I can't do it. I can't take down this whole structure myself. I can't go in guns blazing and get the bad guys. I can't do it. By myself, at least. But there are people out there, if they know how dire the situation is, perhaps they can influence real change and hold these people, these traitors, these criminals, accountable. We need real law enforcement. We need real justice against criminals. I don't like criminal justice. It sounds like it's justice for criminals. We need to have these people pay. And this judicial system needs to be seriously reformed for that to happen. Everything is so stacked against us, where you have people like Alan Dershowitz and Jeffrey Epstein getting off with raping children. Oh, Jeffrey had his sentence just as this little slap on the wrist where he got to go home as well. Oh, it was a joke, absolute joke, and it was done by Trump's labor secretary, Alex Acosta. He's the one that got this sweetheart deal. It's so sick. But you as just one of the common goyim out there, if you're just to exist as a white person and speak your mind, you are the ultimate evil. These people at the top, though, raping the children, they're just promoters of love, tolerance, and diversity. The ones mass murdering brown people in wars for greater Israel, they're the anti-racists. You, who have never killed another person, let alone a non-white person, no, you, because you like your race, you're the evil. What sick freaks these people are, and how absurd that people actually listen to them when they're on their soapboxes, which are giant because they have the Jewish media, and just screeching and kvetching just about how bad white supremacy is. It's just so absurd. These people need to... How about this? Let's kick that soapbox out from underneath of them and let them dangle. That sounds like a plan.
I couldn't agree more. It's very hard to get a message out, because even if people are of the same mindset that you are, and compared to most people that I'm around, at my employer and everything else, I'm a little more outspoken than anybody else. And even if they agree with me, they won't say they agree with me. You know, at most, I'll get a head nod and a walk off.
When a paycheck depends on not openly agreeing with you, they're not going to usually speak up. And it does. A paycheck does depend on people not stating facts, because facts are mean and hateful. Facts are hate speech.
Right. And you know, I can't really afford to lose my job either. I got a kid in college, and I know that they traditional college education is probably a torment, but I've raised him from the time he was old enough to understand what was going on. Hey, you take their test, you pass their courses, but you don't swallow everything they feed you. and, you know, if something sounds questionable, you call me, we'll look it up together, whatever. But he's going to a military college here, and so I think that that's probably the least Jewy thing that he could be doing, and get an education that he can hopefully, you know, it'll give him some leadership skills, and hopefully he'll come out and be able to provide a good life for himself and carry on, you know?
You know, unfortunately, I've seen a decent amount of degeneracy within the military education system. Military men often like to really booze it up or somewhat... And I'm not saying this is going to happen to your son. I don't think it's going to. But there's a lot of homoeroticism and also... It's a weird mix of homoeroticism with misogyny that you'll see from some of these kinds of guys.
Right. He has talked about the there is an excessive amount of drinking there, which he's not interested in.
Yeah. Well, it's because that's a legal thing for them to do. Isn't that just so incredible that this really destructive drug, alcohol, it will just ruin families, ruin lives. But that's completely socially acceptable, whereas some things are still taboo or verboten. You know, usually plants.
Best destructive things.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so that the only thing that they're able to do to have some kind of enjoyment and relaxation, I mean, you could, there are plenty of things that they could actually do, but the socially acceptable one, the fraternal one, is to just get wasted. It's awful for the body and for the mind and the soul and for one's longevity. Oh, and I did
right.
a lot
and
of
he
it.
He understands that. He's pretty smart, man. He's got his shit together really, really good, and I couldn't be prouder of him. He was ranked number 2 in the nation. He was on the rifle team of a local high school when he was ranked number 2 in the nation on while he was on rifle team.
One of the reasons I don't get too worried about any kind of race war is just how well trained a lot of young white youth are with firearms.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're armed to the teeth, and he knows, and my daughter also knows how to use everything in the safe and proficiently. I started him when he was like 6 years old, shooting AR-15s and Glock pistols. So he's got it down. He can take them apart, put them back together, the whole nine yards, man. He's ready to go.
Yeah, that's you're not alone. It's quite common here in the United States, which is why you have so many Jewish politicians kvetching about gun control all the damn time. And they just want to destroy our Bill of Rights, which you mentioned before. We have the freedom of speech as number 1, and number 2, of course, your right to own and bear arms. And that is what ensures that you have numero uno, isn't it?
It is. The only thing is, you know, what are we going to... If the government, Jewish-controlled government, turns its guns on us, there's literally nothing we can do about it. Now, I've got some friends who are in the military, and a certain friend of mine's been in the military for over 20 years, and he basically says that the way him and his company feel about it is they will never turn their guns on American citizens. That's an order that they'll just not follow.
But would they be willing to stand against those who do? That's the real question. So let's say, are they willing to then go defend the Americans who are being slaughtered, let's say by the illegal immigrant Mexicanos or whoever else, those who were allowed to become citizens if they joined the U.S. military? Yeah, the U.S. military accepting illegals into their ranks. That's just, I mean, what's that for? Why was the DHS ordering all of those targets of photos of people, and all of them were white people? And why do they have Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genie who was out there advocating race war against white people, as a DHS officer in charge of ammo and firearms. I mean, there are so
Which
many
brings
different.
Up another.
Good.
Why did DHS order a million something rounds of hollow point 40 cal? Yeah. You know, 40 cal is not, or I mean, I'm sorry, hollow points are not what you use to target practice with.
Yeah.
That's what you use to kill people with.
Yes.
Why the hell does DHS need? I don't remember the exact number. It's been several years since I've seen the article, but it was, you know, upwards of a million rounds of 40 caliber ammo.
Oh, it was well more than a million, wasn't it? It was a lot. It was
Yeah, it was a shitload. I mean, it was a bunch of ammo, more than you would think you would ever need.
You could kill all of the American people many times over with while you're missing many rounds as well. It was a lot. So. Yeah, they have a lot of things that could potentially be planned for us. And the problem is, as you mentioned, we are completely outgunned. If they were able to use their planes and their drones and their tanks and even just their Israelified police state against us, we're pretty screwed. And that's one of the reasons.
Absolutely, and the drone thing is another thing. We can't really fight a drone, can we?
Or these robots.
Fight a damn drone.
Or these robots, and it's not just Terminator style robots, or you know the ones on the treads that just would come in, maybe try to throw a bomb at you, shoot a shotgun at you.
Shoot you in the face with a shotgun.
Yeah. It's not just that. Like they did to the Weavers, actually. Do you know they used a robot with a shotgun to go up to their door? That was back in the 90s. Think about the technology they have now.
Yep,
some of these drone swarms that they've been developing openly, you think about what DARPA has now, they'd be able to kill you with tiny little flying robots. It could inject you with a poison, could just act as a projectile, like a bullet, and go through you. They have very advanced weaponry, and I mean we're not even talking about bio warfare here either. It's I mean if they unleashed what they have against us, no, we're done. And that's why somehow, some way, we have got to get enough people on board that we take this thing whole.
Well, the only thing that you can hope for in a situation like that is some of the higher ups in the military to actually find a conscience and go, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to send these drones out to Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina to.
But what I'm saying is, it can't just be not obeying orders. It's got to be we're going to organize something here to set things straight. It's not just, you know,
right.
No, I won't shoot that person. It's no, this is going to stop. I'm not going to let my children live in this world. I am not going to be a sheep led to the slaughter. I am not a good goy anymore. That's got to be what happens. They have no future. These military men who think they're taken care of, you have no future. The police who think that Israel's a good ally in training them against no, they are your enemy. You don't have any damn future, and you're just another one of the goy. You're just a goy enforcer to them. We need to fix this problem that we have, and then all of the smaller problems will really fall into line. We've got plenty of solutions, so many solutions that can be implemented to solve all of these problems. And we don't need to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Some of this technology that has been developed would be very useful. But some of this stuff that they're coming out with, it's not for me. The Elon Musk brain lace, brain interface, all this crap, all this transhumanist crap, get it gone. Ban all of this Jewish mind poison that they're coming out with. We could be healthy in no time. It might take a generation or two for us to really start seeing our potential, but, oh man, if we keep sliding down this slippery slope, we'll be too far gone.
Sometimes I wonder if we're not already too far gone because, you know, you were talking about the technology that we have now is definitely useful to us. I just believe that if it started right now, we as white people fighting what we had to fight before it was over, I believed that the whole system would be torn down. Whether we survived or not, I believe that it would be a scorched earth situation.
No, I think we could win.
And a lot of this.
I think we could win. I think the Samson option crap from Israel is a bluff, a big bluff. And I think that there are enough white people who have the courage, who have the positions, who have the weapons, including their minds, at their disposal in such a way that we could do it. I think that it would actually be a lot simpler than people think. It's not that hard. We're the masters of war. The white Aryan man is not to be considered lightly on the battlefield. It's just that we haven't realized.
100%. If we can get enough of them mustered up and headed in the right direction, we're definitely the force to be reckoned with for sure.
Yeah.
No question about that.
And they have.
The only problem is getting enough of us facing the right direction.
And I'm glad that they've backed us into this corner. If you've ever read Sun Tzu, he says not to back an enemy into a corner and not leave him a way to escape. Otherwise, he's going to fight to the death. They might try to give us a way to escape.
They've got no choice.
Yeah, they might try to give us an escape. We can't take it. We can't flee anymore. This has got to be a last stand. If we make our last stand, we win. That's the way I see it.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
I think that's the only option. I don't see any other course for success. Yeah, there might be some other ways that we can prolong things a little bit, regroup and regather. The most definitive thing that we can do that would ensure a chance for our future generations would be to make a last stand right now, put it all on the table and say, no fucking more. We're done with this.
Absolutely.
We're not your slaves anymore.
That's one of the things that I've...
Hey, Zach, we've run out of time. Thanks so much for calling. I hope to hear from you again soon.
Yeah, man. Take care.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow night. Noel Ignatieff.
My concern is doing away with whiteness. Whiteness is a form of racial oppression, sure. The suggestion is that it is somehow possible to separate whiteness from oppression, and it is not. There can be no white race without the phenomenon of white supremacy. In the same way, if you abolish racial oppression, you do away with whiteness. Treason to whiteness is loyalty to humanity.
Your views are fairly well received in academia.
Yes, they're legitimate. Not to say that everyone agrees, but sure. And the task is to bring this minority together in such a way that it makes it impossible for the legacy of whiteness to continue to reproduce itself.